I'm blown away by it. So when I close my eyes and I listen to these things and I hear those textures and I understand the footsteps coming from afar and getting closer, and you know, like this stuff matters. Like, it paints the picture that I don't even have to have my eyes open. I can see the whole movie happen with sound. Yeah, I love that.
It's so important. Yeah. I'm really enjoying people paying attention to spatial sound. So when someone's talking from this direction, like the right side, then you hear the audio from the right side only. Like, it's really interesting how they're doing that more and more often now. I'm noticing it a lot more.
Welcome to Audio Branding, the hidden gem of marketing. Sound plays a more important role in human behavior and our decision-making than you may realize. In this podcast, I'll help you understand the art and science of sound so you can better influence others in business and your life. I'm your host, Jody Krangle. Let's delve a little deeper. Here's the second part of my conversation with Michael Dargy.
So there's so much to do with sound and movies, but when you're talking about brands, how do you help a brand figure out what their sound should be?
Well, I think it's the honesty. This is the work below the surface. This is the find and shape your story side of this whole thing before you share it. The opening chapter of my book is all about this story that I tell for a friend of mine, Jen Bain, who is a very talented, extraordinary puppeteer. She works on Fraggle Rock. So she's legit. And the opening story is about her going on stage for a show that we were doing together. Maestro Impro. There's three of us left. It's crash and burn comedy. So only one person wins at the end. The audience votes you out along the way. There's, 200.
It's a gong show. Great.
It is extraordinary. It's so fun. So a friend of mine and I, we get up, we're like, we get to do a scene together. And we just, make this up as you do in improv. And we got the audience scored it 4 out of 5, which was awesome. We're just like, we're going to the finals. Take that. And then Jen Bain gets up there and does a solo scene. So she's all by herself. She pulls out, she asks for a couch to come on stage from backstage. She gets a spotlight. And this is, I guess this may be anti your show because there was no sound. But I think that's also a character, right? So she basically lays down on a couch on stage in a spotlight. She's got this little puppet dog on her chest and it's sleeping with her on the couch. It's just a slice of life moment. And as soon as the audience understands what's happening, they laugh and the dog looks up, right? And she tries to go back to bed because the dog just moved. And because the dog noticed the audience and the audience noticed the dog, they laugh harder. So the dog gets really excited and the tail starts wagging. And it was 5 minutes of not one word spoken, but everybody, like, it was brilliant. And the reason why I opened the book with that story is that truth matters. You remember truth. When you have got something that's not right, you're going to know. My scene that I did with my friend was good. Got a 4 out of 5. That's great score. Holy hell. Do I remember it? Nope. But because the audience understands the life of a dog and the life of a human trying to go to sleep with a dog that's not behaving, that's critical. So truth matters. So in answer to your question, how we help brands figure out sound is truth. So what is true for them? And I think we see it in so many different things. When it's wrong and you know when it's right. And the other thing, sorry, I'm just going on and on and on.
No, go ahead. That's why we're here.
this idea that if you don't notice it, that's a problem. If you do notice it, it's a problem.
Yeah, it has to be in between that, doesn't
it? There's like this balance you have to play with to be like, it has to serve the story. It has to be honest, has to be true, has to serve the story, has to move the story forward. But if you notice it too much, it's wrong. And if you don't notice it at all, that's also wrong. So it's like the, I don't know, it's a balancing act.
Yeah. Have you had a client ever have a hard time being honest? I'm curious. You don't have to give me names, but I am curious if you've run across the problem of a client who maybe thinks they're one thing, but they're really another.
Yeah. Well, and I think this is early in my career. So I've been running my own agency now for 20 years. Early on, certainly I had that. And I didn't know maybe how to handle it. I have fired clients before.
Okay. How do you handle it now?
I don't run across it because we're all on the same page because I insist that we go through this process. Again, shameless plug, 25 years, it's all in here. And I take people through that step by step, and there's a purpose to it. And what they see when they get to it is they're like, oh, that's why we did that work. I'm like, yes, exactly.
I see. So what are some of the processes that you take them through you don't have to reveal the whole thing, but but just to start us off, like, where do you start them?
So great question. There is, that's a lot to unpack there. Here we go. Values, vision, and purpose are really important. That's at the very bottom. That's not even part of the iceberg. That's like the flotsam and jetsam that just drifts and maybe, you know, directs how the iceberg might flow.
Kind of sounds like coming up with a background before you do a voiceover audition.
Right? Like a little bit. Yeah.
but
like, I think values are important because then, you know, what will you stand for? What will you stand against? What will you, you know, and I'm very clear that you get three. Why three? I just make up the number. All I want is guardrails for people. What are the three most important values that you have? You can't have five. You can't have two. You need three. And I think that helps. The vision is, what is the big, hairy, audacious goal? What do you want to have happen in the future that you're probably in your lifetime, you'll never get to, but that's what you're driving towards. And purpose is purely, why do you show up every day to do the thing? What's in you to show up? Like, I mean, Jody, dear God, you're like so amazing with the stuff that you do and the fact that you own this space, and it drives you, right? Once you have that stuff sort of sorted, or at least you're thinking about it, then you can get into the brand DNA, which is, what do you do? Why do you do it? Who do you do it for? Why do they care? Going back to Loose Moose, the platform, on stage, you get 30 seconds. You can do anything you want. During that 30 seconds, Keith Johnstone would say, and Dennis Cahill and any of my other instructors would say that, who are you? Where are you? What are you doing? Who are you with? What's your relationship? If you can give that platform to the audience will understand the circle of expectations where that story can go. For a brand, what do you do? Why do you do it? Who do you do it for? Why do they care? Is that circle of expectations. And it doesn't have to be perfect, and it doesn't have to be salesy. If I walked out on stage, I'm doing this. I'm like, hey, Jody, have you seen Dad? We know within 3 seconds that you and I are brother and sister. We're taking a haul for Dad. You know, and you might be like, oh, I thought you had him, which is the tilt to the platform, right? Because, oh shit, is Dad dead? Like, what happened to Dad?
Just for those who are listening rather than seeing, he was digging a hole.
Oh, thank you.
Yes. We have to tell the person listening what's going on here.
Appreciate it. Oh my God. Yeah. But
I got it in a second. Yeah. That's funny.
Oh my God.
I didn't mean to make you spew. That's okay.
No, it's not. Yep, I was just like, lost my own little world, totally forgetting that there's people that are like, what the hell is he doing?
I mean, it's an interesting medium, you know, both video and audio. Yeah. But
sure.
But I get what you mean. So there's a lot that goes into this, and How does that inform how you instruct them on building their sound, though, out of curiosity? Because that's pretty specific, and it's got to be built in order to work with the visuals and anything else that they have going on.
That's another great question, and it's a difficult one to answer because sound is complex because it works with the visual that it's paired with. So I look for contrast in the work that I do. Typically, any of the work that I do is baked. It's got contrast baked in. So what you see, you will have one thing that's normal, and then you are going to have one thing that's not normal. And sometimes the sound will be normal and the visual will be not normal. Sometimes it'll be the opposite will be true. So I think from a brand standpoint and a sound specific standpoint is what is true for the brand. Just to oversimplify, are you comedy? Are you rock and roll or are you country? Are you Donnie or Marie?
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah. In a way that would translate to me, I'm often asked, what kind of shoes do you wear?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's just, you know, how buttoned up are you? How casual are you?
Absolutely.
Do you use contractions? You know, is that part of your,
yeah,
your culture? What, you know, your brand culture is what I mean. But
yeah. Are you spicy?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Are you, are you avocado with no, with no jalapenos? Because it's fine to be an avocado. Just own the fact that you're an avocado.
With, you know, with some spiciness.
if that's for you. We're going to figure out what your level of spiciness is.
Oh, well, I guess those are the guardrails, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah. How many peppers?
Yeah. Mild, medium, or hot.
Right? Or inferno.
Hi, I'm Jeremy Toman, CEO of Augie Studio and host of Founder at 50, and you're listening to the Audio Branding Podcast. Subscribe now, because even a 50-year-old tech industry veteran like me can still learn more about the power of sound and audio.
Yeah, you can totally go there. Yeah, there's a lot that can differentiate a brand from another brand. What would you think would make it more memorable, though? Is that what you're going for with the contrast?
Yeah.
Does that help for memorizing or like remembering things?
There is a, there was a Brute 33 commercial talking like in the 80s. Where'd you be at the Brute 33? And they had all these vignettes of these famous people in history that were, you know, putting on the Brute, and you know, and they'd get the lady or whatever that happened to be, whatever they were selling. I remember that. That's memorable because it was contrasty. It was catchy. I remember it now. Like, how many years is this? Like 50 years. Oh my God, 50 years ago. I still remember these jingles.
Uh-huh.
Right. So
do you remember Capital One, the hands in my pocket thing?
No.
Did you ever see those?
Oh, I don't know.
You got to look for that online now. I just interviewed Ted Rosnick, who was the one who was behind that campaign.
Oh my
God. In the 80s again. And or it might have been the 90s, but I think it was like either like late 80s, early 90s. But it was like this jingle is like hands in your pocket. And it's this banker hanging around with his hand in your pocket while people do real world things like playing tennis and going for a walk and grocery shopping. And
and this is the brilliance of truth. Yes, right? Because that is one, it hits you.
It was just brilliant. Yeah.
Oh, so, my God.
Yeah. Commercials just have that ability to really get to the heart of the matter very quickly.
Very quickly.
And yeah. They have to. Yeah. I mean, they must. So, yeah. Have you worked on any commercial campaigns with anybody? Or
how does that
work with you?
Yeah. Yeah. We did. I wouldn't say. The weird thing is that it wasn't a sound was obviously part of it, but it wasn't the most important part. if that makes sense. Like we did a commercial for a manufacturing company, and the important salient point that we need to get across is they have got customers across the world that do all these different things. Like who are we speaking to? What audience are we trying to attract? So it came down to, what was the tagline I came up with? I was like, we make stuff.
I mean, that's honest.
Right? Like, you know, your stuff. Like it was unapologetic. And they are super pro. Like, and we shot it in a way that was super pro. We got like a really great voiceover actor. She was amazing. We added some 3D visualization that happened inside of it. We actually made the stuff. Like, we hired a bunch of people. Like, we hired a doctor. We hired a guy in a coffee shop that runs a local coffee shop here in Calgary. He was just like, yeah, I'm in, let's do it. We grabbed this motorcycle dude from like Calgary Cycle. His name's Blue, I think. He's just like tatted up dude, get in a box. We found the right music for it. Epidemic Sound, thank you. Cause normally, again, if we had a bit bigger of a budget, I've got a guy named Emery Chords that does a lot of our music here in Calgary. We found the right one on Epidemic Sound. We had the right voiceover artist, and I was surgical with the script. So it was minute 30 that we could then cut into 30s, right? So we could have this big long one, or we could have, you know, three or four little ones.
Yeah, yeah. They call them cut downs.
Yeah, cut it down.
Or lifts. I know all about them. Yes.
Yeah. So I don't know if that answers the question.
Well, it does, in a way that the sound was important because it worked. But if it had been contrasting or not appropriate or bad in some way, then it would have taken away from what you were presenting in the commercial. So again, you got that balance.
And I think that was the hardest part, was hiring the right voice actor for it. Mm-hmm. Like, that was a process. Like, we went through probably, and I was ruthless, 50 audition tapes, like, of people doing like a sample read kind of thing, and just find that right voice for this brand.
So what made you choose one voice over another? I'm curious. As a voice actor, I'd love to know.
Well, so they're a manufacturing company. So it's very, patriarchal is not the right word, but it's very man focused work. And there weren't a lot of women in the business. And we were trying to show that it's manufacturing. We're going to go from idea to thing to in the hands of somebody who needs a thing. That's the narrative arc. So I, part of it was, I really wanted a feminine voice to tell that story. But I wanted to also make sure that she was, that's the word I'm looking for. I didn't want it to be cliche. I wanted it to be a strong human delivering stuff, but also because I'm saying stuff, like, we're going to make your stuff. Like, there's a cheekiness to the script that I wrote. So it had to have believability, but also like a, you know, I just winked.
A little bit of a wink. Yeah.
A little bit of a wink.
Yeah.
So that's what I was looking for. When I was listening to the read, I was looking for the person that was giving it a bit of a wink.
Interesting.
I once did a voice class with a guy named Brendan Hunter here in Calgary. And I was doing a read. And he's like, Dargie, smile. I was like, what? He goes, smile when you read this.
It so makes a difference.
It changed everything for me. Yeah.
Ups the energy. It's funny, when I'm on a live direct session with someone and they say up the energy, they're not just asking you to be louder. Actually, putting a smile on your face gives you more energy.
Yeah.
It's really strange how that works with the human voice.
I know. But I know.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was the most wild thing. So that's why I chose her. to voice this one, and she was brilliant. And we didn't have to do a lot of, can't even remember where we, where did we record?
Did she go in to record, or did she do it from her own
studio?
No,
we brought her in. And okay. I was just trying to think, like, we used to use the beach here in Calgary, Lanny Williamson. Mm-hmm.
And do you only do stuff with locals, or do you spread wider than that?
No, we'll use anybody. It's the right voice. And the, it doesn't have to be local whatsoever. I think the other thing too, that you'll know as well, is like, are you directable?
Oh, totally.
Right?
Like, that's a big one. Yeah.
Can you take a note?
Yeah.
And then do something with it and surprise us with, you know, your new approach to it, because it's that subtlety that, you know, especially when you're doing a read that's, you know, maybe not even half a page, but you have to go through 8 emotions.
Yeah, it's funny, you know, one of the reasons I'm not worried about AI taking my job is because if anyone was going to do that in a script and program it 8 different ways for 8 different emotions, that's going to take them 3 hours, right?
Totally.
A good voice actor can do that in 10 minutes.
Yeah.
That's part of the job. That's what you're there for.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's interesting because when you're being directed, the director often has different ways of describing things from one director to the other, right?
Yeah.
So I have to know a lot of different options, because someone could use one word to describe something and mean something completely different than the last person who told me that word.
Right. Oh, my God.
Like, yeah, like energy. It's like, what, like, that could mean so many different things to so many different directors. Yeah.
So true.
So, yeah, it's a weird business.
Yeah, we use a guy named Doug Demance.
Oh, I know Doug.
Do you know Doug?
Yeah, he's a great guy. Oh, yeah,
I love
Doug. Yeah, so he's fantastic.
We had him. We did a pandemic project, Travel Alberta. It was.
I worked for Travel Alberta.
Really?
By the way.
Small world. Oh my God.
I have a spot on my website right now for Travel Alberta.
Hilarious. So yeah. We did this. We did a commercial for Rocky Mountain Sidecar and the Calgary Tower through Travel Alberta, which was the whole concept was explore your backyard, because that's when we couldn't travel and do stuff.
And there's a lot in that backyard.
Oh my God. It was
there's
so
a lot.
Fun. And finding the actors was great. Figuring out the music was amazing. And part of it was, so it was a hard 60 seconds. We had, I think, 8 locations traveling. We had to shut down 9th Avenue in Calgary to fly a drone and all this other stuff that was happening. And part of me was, we don't need a voiceover. We don't. Like, so we did 2 versions. We did a non-voiceover version. And I was just like, what voice do I want?
Oh, Doug would be perfect. Yes.
So I called up Doug. I'm like, Doug, are you down for this? Like, 2 takes? Or, like, are you kidding me? That guy's such a pro.
Oh, yeah.
Travel Alberta. I'm Doug Denance. I'm not doing him any justice whatsoever.
He is great, though. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. And he does, like, truck rallies and
monster
stuff,
truck guys.
Like,
yeah. Yeah. He does live events.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's a
really
character.
Talented guy. Yeah. Yeah. Shout out to
smooth,
Doug.
Yeah. His smooth criminal voice is awesome.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. He, I'm sure he did a great job for that. Yeah.
Hi, my name is Michael Dargy. I'm the host of the Rebel Rebel podcast. I'm also an author of Brand Jitsu, Move Your Brand from Meh to Memorable, available wherever you get your favorite books. Also, if you go to the website, brandjitsu.com, you can buy a signed copy there. And if you use AudioBrand15 in the coupon code field, I'm going to knock off 15%. Right off the cover price. Cover is like $24.99 minus 15%. And then just shipping is on its way to you. Absolute pleasure to be here. And thanks so much.
So I could probably talk with you about this for like another hour. However, I want to sort of get a little philosophical here, and I want to ask you a question specifically about sound.
Sure.
And I want to know if you could leave one message about the power of sound for future generations, what would you tell them?
Great.
Another it's great a big question. I know.
Well, I'm going to say this. Pay attention to it.
Sure.
Because good sound makes everything look better. That's just good sound. Great sound leaves a mark. I remember great sound. Like I'm getting chills even just thinking about this whole topic. So yeah, sound matters. It's not something to be thrown away or to be tucked in at the end. It is a thing that is it's your palate. And I think it's probably more important, or at least serves the visual that you're going for. It's the subtext to it all. And we know that stories without subtext are empty. They don't feel like anything. So if you can add some subtext to it with some great sound choices, the right music, the right theme, the right voice, if you're doing that, the right read, I want to be able to close my eyes. Here's a guilty secret. I will go to bed and have something on Netflix running, and I close my eyes. I don't watch it. I listen to it.
A lot more people are doing that. They're saying that a lot of people are, for instance, listening to podcasts on YouTube.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's interesting.
Yeah. But I do, and I love the subtlety of it. I love, like, so at the beach, do you know the beach? So Lenny?
No.
All right, so Lenny Williamson in Calgary, I'm not sure if he's still doing stuff. He did the underscore for Apocalypse Now.
Oh, wow. That's a big thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we used to have a studio above the beach, and what was it? Oh my God. It was like when Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie were together. They would come and whatever movie they're working on, they came and did voiceovers. So we got to see them, which was hilarious. But he had full on Foley rooms. And so I got to just watch people take these amazing movies that you've seen in theaters. And I watched the guy with the bicycle wheel spinning in. I watched the guy with a switch. I watched the guy walking in, and I'm walking now if you can't see me, but walking in gravel, like this little gravel pit in his Foley room.
Sure. Yeah.
It's magical.
You know, like, don't they do like sizzling bacon for rain? Like, seriously, there's like, it's funny because like, I think if you actually took a microphone and put it outside in a windstorm, like a rainstorm, you'd get mostly wind. Yeah. You wouldn't actually get the sounds we're used to hearing in movies.
Absolutely. Yeah. So I'm blown away by it. So when I close my eyes and I listen to these things and I hear those textures and I understand the footsteps coming from afar and getting closer, and this stuff matters. Like, it paints the picture that I don't even have to have my eyes open. I can see the whole movie happen with sound.
Yeah.
I love that.
It's so important. Yeah. I'm really enjoying people paying attention to spatial sound. So when someone's talking from this direction, like the right side, then you hear the audio from the right side only. Like, it's really interesting how they're doing that more and more often now. And I'm noticing it a lot more.
And how do they do that? Like, even if you put in iPods or AirPods.
I think it's Dolby Atmos.
Okay.
I think it might be spatial audio with Dolby Atmos.
It
yeah.
is rad. Like, I can't yeah. wrap my head around how that's even possible.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome. It's pretty awesome. Yeah. Well, we are coming to the end here, but I want to give you a chance to let people know how to contact you and what your agency name is and all of that good stuff. So let them know how they can get in touch.
Thank you, Jody. Okay, so my name is Michael Dargie, and you can find me at michaeldargie.com, michaeldargie.com.
I've written a book called Brandjitsu, Move Your Brand from Meh to Memorable. You can go to brandjitsu.com and pick it up, or you can get it at Indigo, Chapters, Barnes & Noble, Amazon, any place you buy books.
All the usual stuff.
All the usual stuff. My agency name is Make More Creative, because that's what we do. And you go to makemorecreative.com, and we're a creative intelligence agency. We are using AI for a lot of stuff right now. But we always have people in the mix.
That's good. Yeah.
Yeah.
People oversight.
No, it's true.
Always a good thing.
It is so important that we can do a lot of really cool shit with AI. I get it. But it's the human. Because we pay attention more than, I don't know if you've ever done 11 labs.
I have seen it. I don't do it because I'm a little aware of the fact that I am not protected by doing that. So yeah, I'm careful.
Yeah. And I think that's important.
Well, for those of us that make a living with our voice, yeah, it's pretty important.
I could listen to your voice all day long.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. But this has been a fantastic discussion. And I mean, there's so much more we talk about with AI alone.
100%.
But I love that you are actually doing some human oversight with that, that it's never actually just push a button and let it go. That's important.
We used to, like back at Applied Multimedia, people would come in to learn digital animation and they thought it was push button, make dinosaur.
Oof, no.
Right? But it's not. As soon as they learn inverse kinematics, and as soon as they understand that this, when you pull a toe, it's going to affect the rest of the structure. And it's the same with sound.
Yeah, I agree. And that is a great note to end on. So yeah, thank you so much, Michael. This has been a great conversation. I appreciate you being here.
Oh, Jody, thanks for having me. You're awesome.
Likewise.
Thanks.
Well, that's the end of this episode. Thanks for listening. And if you like what you heard, why not tell a friend about this podcast? It's available in all the usual locations. Until next time.